Nobody like Crispy. Terry Crisp joining us on the F&M Bank phone line. Good morning, Terry.
Bogeyman, how you doing, buddy? I haven't seen you for a while. I haven't talked to you for a while. Great to hear your voice.
Well, yeah, I think last time, you know, we talked, the Preds were in last place, and we were about ready to blow the thing up, right?
then we started giving advice. They started to listen to us, and they got
there you go.
Better.
Crispy, if you could, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but if you could pin one thing to the turnaround for the Nashville Predators, what would it be?
Probably energy. We infused energy into our team after we got going and whatnot. And when I use that word energy, I mean, let's be honest, when we first started, we had a very new coach in John Hines who was hard. You know, he just got here, didn't know the players that well. We had a shortened season. Then we had the pandemic come in and shorten up everything. And it was a 10-day training camp. So everything was stacked up against John Hines and his crew. And don't forget, we brought in, I think, 7 or 8 new players we brought in to infuse into our lineup all of a sudden, putting them in. A couple injuries. Not looking for excuses or rhyme or reason why not, but all these things all add up. And we started out in a rocky start. And then suddenly, when we got some injuries, and I always look back to this, which we were very fortunate, we started bringing up the kids from the minors that had been around for a year or two. And then suddenly Tolvanen came on the scene, and then Olivier and Trennan, and now Jeannot and Carrier and a couple of the other young kids. And they brought up with them a passion that they wanted to make the team. They wanted to be here. They wanted to get in the bigs. And I think that's the infusion of energy we had. And it also woke up a lot of other players around saying, hey, whoa, these kids are serious. They've come to play. They've come to get a job. And the job they come to get is mine. And it woke up a few of them, too.
And I do believe they have a goaltender that has played himself into the Vezina Trophy conversation as well, right?
Oh, good point, Bogeyman. Yes. Young Saros, he has played out of his skull. And we were spoiled all the way along with Pecorini and how he held the team together for years. And he was our anchor and whatnot. And then when Peck was getting a little long a tooth, we were wondering, you know, who is going to step in as this youngster? And suddenly Saros said, yeah, I'm the man. I'm ready. And Coach Hines had a lot of faith in him, put a lot of faith into Saros. A couple of rocky games, but he stayed with him. And lo and behold, he is, I mean, what he's done since mid-March is unbelievable for a goaltender. The stats he's put up, the average of goals against, et cetera, and give his teammates a lot of credit, too, for helping. But by and large, he has been the man.
We're talking to the great Terry Crisp, Nashville Predators hockey. You know, you talk about new players infusing energy into the lineup, Crispy. How about that herd line? You know, I mean, they're fun to watch, and they've really, really provided, as you said, a lot of spark, a lot of energy, a lot of jump to the lineup, no?
They have. I mean, when you look at when they brought Olivier up and then brought Trennan in, and they had Tolvanen already was starting to hit stride for us, and then they matched them up with Sissons in the middle, then suddenly you had, holy, these guys play the body. These guys come to hit you. These guys clear the corners. They go to the net, and then suddenly we brought up, when Olivier, unfortunately, we hope he's back soon, because we could use him, they brought up Jeannot. And Jeannot has been just an unreal. I just look and say, where's this kid been hiding all along? I mean, he's got skill, he's got size, he's got speed, he goes to the net, he makes things happen. And these guys, the ones we just mentioned, and there's a couple other ones like young Carrier, who's trying to get his way into here and do it and whatnot, and a couple other ones that went down. But these kids have all come on the scene to stay here. They don't want to just be a taxi squad. They don't want to be a hit and miss. They want to stay, and they're playing that way.
And the ones that were brought in to fill holes for, you know, you look at Cunning, certainly Granlin. I mean, his name was mentioned quite a bit heading up to the trade deadline. Ahala, the way he's played lately. And you're getting it now all the way through all four lines. And then also the defensive pairings are getting healthy again. It just seems like they want to be peaking right now. I know they had to be disappointed with the outcome Wednesday night in Columbus because of what it meant. We'll know by the end of the evening if that's, you know, the playoff spot is secure or not with the, obviously with the Stars in their game tonight. But it just seems like everyone stepped up along the lines. Just and some night it may be Yarncrook. Some night it may be, you know, whoever. It just seems like they're getting it from just so many different people.
A good perspective, Pogey Man. Exactly, dead on the money with what you just said. It was like Yarncrook and Granlund and Halla and Cunning and Cousins. And they all started to play the way we thought. The Richardson, they started to bring their game. And for a while, we didn't see their game. And you know what? I look back on it and say, you know what? Also, we were implementing a system of coaches, too. John Hines didn't know a lot of the coaches. I mean, they're brought on new into his staff, and that's a big part of it. You, as a head coach, you got to get to know your assistant coaches. You got to know what their strengths are, what they bring to the table, what their attitudes are with the players and whatnot. That's all a learning curve also that we had to go through. And then throw in the fact that the system that they were trying to initiate, and you heard Coach Hines and his staff say numerous times, we're going to stick with the system. We're going to get it. We're going to make it, and it's going to happen. And if we all stay with the system, well, in that last part of March and early now, the system's starting to kick into gear, and it's starting to work.
Terry, let's say the Preds get the result they want tonight and Dallas loses in regulation. You got the playoff spot locked up. You coach in this league. How would you handle the lineup this weekend against Carolina, who you're probably going to be playing in the first round? You don't want to show them too much. How would you handle the lineups, you know, in terms of goaltending, forwards, defensemen, all that kind of stuff?
I'm a firm believer I want to hit the playoffs running hard. I want all boots on the ground, everybody flying in the playoffs. But having said that, if you have a nagging injury or a few guys battered up a little bit and you're already in and it's secure, then you can maybe give them a night off, maybe one. But I want them playing as a team, as a unit, going in. I want all my lines set. I want my defense pairs set. And if it so happens that you do have a little room for wiggle room that you're already in, hey, you just run four lines. Give them all equal ice time. Mm-hmm. Give your defense pairs equal ice time. And maybe a chance to sit Saros out one of the games, put Pekka in for one, whatever. It gives you a few options to do it. But I'm a firm believer that I don't want to disrupt my team in the last one. And there's only two games. I mean, let's be honest, so it's not monumental. Sometimes you're 10 games left, you know what you're doing, you're in or out and whatnot. You have a lot more wiggle room. With only two games and fighting for your life to get in, you don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Hmm. What'd you make of all the stuff going on with the Caps and Rangers this week with Tom Wilson?
Well, and I want to, ask you,
Especially
you, a member of the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah, you guys were mentioned a few times this week.
Yeah, I've seen that one, guys, the kettle calling the pot. On that one.
But tell him, Crispy, it was a different time back then, right?
Yeah, you know, it was. It was. And it wasn't, it was sort of, but you never want to see it. You don't want to see episodes like that. But hockey is a physical sport. And sometimes certain guys go over the limits. And when they go over the boundaries, they should be punished. They should be, whatever's dealt with, it should be done. And what happened the other night with the Rangers and the Capitals, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like what happened the next game either, except that I've seen it happen so many times. I said, oh, boy. And I used to use that phrase, old-time hockey, but it doesn't sit anymore with the guys and the players and the fans. And whatnot. But let's be honest. Whenever you see a fight on the ice or anywhere else in there, I guarantee you nobody gets up and turns and looks away from the fight. Guarantee you I've never seen it yet. They all watch the fight on the ice or the scrum or the hit or whatever. So having said that, it's a sport that something you don't want to see what you saw going over the limit, but it does happen. So for me, it's just, okay, let's move on.
You surprised Wilson didn't get suspended, only fined?
You know, I wouldn't want the job of George Peros that he has, to be honest with you, the Department of player safety. It's a no-win job.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do something, he's wrong. If he does it, he gave him too much or too little. And I'm not privy. I've asked this answer, this question in the last little while since this happened. Does George Peros, he has to have a committee with him. He can't just be judge, jury, and executioner all by himself. And he has to have guys that, two or three guys that think on his committee. I should have looked into this before, but and maybe the hierarchy from the NHL office too have a little input into it. So they're all quick to jump on George Parros, but I don't think it was a one-man decision. And I think they have certain rules and limitations that are set in there that whatever the referee's report reads, that's all you can do sometimes with the $5,000 fine, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just don't put this all on one man's shoulders.
You know, I think the perception is because of the way he played that it's the fox watching the hen house in a lot.
Yeah, you got a point there. Exactly. Mr. Parros didn't shy from going in the corners or making a good solid check and whatnot. But again, he is now the man that's in the spotlight and took the job. And, you know, as we all know, with it comes, you're going to get accolades and you're going to get criticism.
You know, I want to change the gear. I was listening, and of course, with the TV crew, the radio crew, all of the road games are being broadcast remotely, and you're doing it off the screen. Now, with hockey, you're at the mercy of what you're seeing, and sometimes if you're getting the road team feed, you're at even more so the mercy. But I heard the Braves announcers talking about that, doing baseball, not, you know, on location like yesterday. They were in Washington, and the guy said it's like calling, when you're calling baseball game off a screen, it's like calling it through a keyhole. You can only see what you're seeing, but the difficulty of doing that and pulling that off, I think it's pretty remarkable by your broadcast teams, and of course by our friend Bob Cole.
You know what it is? They've done, Bob Cole and his crew, and Jacob Hartzell and the bunch, they work. And it's especially that because you only, from the visiting team, that we're, when we're in Columbus or wherever, we only have one camera at our disposal. So that one camera is reporting most of it back to us. And normally if you're here like Willie and Mason, and they sit up where they sit, they see the whole game. And a lot of times the biggest part of the game is away from the puck. It's away from where the puck is, the action, the slash, the trip. Whatever behind it that you can call, or the goaltending. So you get a very limited view the way we're doing it right now. But all in all, I think they've done a tremendous job. I really do. And talking with Mason and Willie and them, they get some pretty good. But sometimes, you know, when they want to look at a certain couple plays, you don't get them. But, hey, you know what? We're just happy to get hockey back. We're happy to get it on TV. And we sure as heck were happy to have a schedule this year.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, go ahead.
No, Greg. But also, and we had Sean Henry on earlier this week. As the Predators knock on one, once they get into the playoffs, anything May 14th or after, it's up to each venue to let in as many as there could be. So we could see the large crowds coming back sooner than later if the Preds keep playing.
You know, that'd be awesome. I mean, there's nothing like the fans in any sport. I don't care if it's track and field, if it's volleyball, hockey, baseball. The fans are a big part of it. They make it. The fans, let's be honest, the accolades that athletes get come from the fans, from the media. But we especially here are spoiled in Bridgestone Arena because our fans, and I don't care, I'm prejudiced, we got the best of the loudest in the league. And I'll be honest, two teams that I think could maybe not beat our team, but close to tying our fans in that capacity would be Vegas and Chicago Blackhawks. And Chicago has always been a noisy place from the day I played in the old Chicago Stadium to now. But and everybody says, well, you're fast. No, they do it. And when the players say it here in our team, they mean it. Those fans stand up and give you that standing ovation at the end of a period or at the end of a big penalty kill. Man, I still love it. It still never gets old.
Terry Crisp, everybody on the F&M Bank phone line. Crispy, after all this is over, you'll come back on maybe late June where there's nothing to talk about. We'll tell John the story of our first meeting.
To be continued.
The parts we can tell.
season 3, episode 7.
Thank you, Crispy.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend,
thanks,
man.
Terry. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Stay healthy, and we'll see y'all at the Bridgestone. 2 games. Playoffs are just around the corner.
Here we go, baby.
Woo! See you at the passion.
See you at the rink. Thanks, Terry.
All right, Terry.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. Hey, he sounds